What makes a life a good one? Is it the adventure you have? Or the friends you find along the way? Maybe it's pursuing your passion while striving to protect, defend, and save what you believe in every single day. So, what makes a life a good one? In the Coast Guard, we think it's all of the above and more. But you'll have to find out for yourself. Visit GoCoastGuard.com to learn more.
That's not just the sound of that first sip of Morning Joe. It's the sound of someone shopping for a car on Carvana from the comfort of home.
That's a good blend.
It's time to take it easy, like answering some easy questions to get pre-qualified for a car in minutes.
Talk about starting the morning right.
Just like customizing your terms so your car fits your budget.
Mm-mm-mm.
Visit Carvana.com or download the app to experience car shopping the way it should be. Convenient, comfortable.
Good morning, millennials. Welcome back to the Morning Toast. Happy hump day. I am very appropriately sitting here with two boys that I just love to hump. The first is Theo, as he is the official mascot of hump day. And the other is my co-host for the second day in a row, the man that I sleep with every night and the man that I love, Mr. Ben Soffer. Hi, Ben. How are you?
Hump day.
Do you remember that commercial?
Of course I do. I just said hump day.
Geico.
It's, by the way, Geico, unbelievable advertising.
Unbelievable marketing strategy.
And it's funny, it's like you'd think that over the years it would change, but really, whoever's in there just is in there and they're just there till they die, I guess. We'll know when the Geico creative guy dies.
The gecko. It'll go downhill. Thank you so much for joining me here again today.
Thank you
for having
me.
I truly appreciate it. How are you doing since your last stint on the Morning Toast yesterday? Have people stopping you in the street?
Actually, last night I was accosted in the streets.
Oh, really? By hordes of fans of the Morning Toast?
A group of three, I will say, high school ladies in masks, as I walked down the street, yelled, "Oh my God, it's the husband of Caller Daddy!"
Oh, that's funny.
And I was like, "No, it's not." And I kept walking. And then
was
she's
your
like,
pride?
"Oh my God, it's girl with no job's husband and her dog. I recognized your dog." I'm like, "Thanks."
Is your pride a little butthurt?
It's just like Theo's so much more famous than me.
Oh, by the way, 100%. Theo gets stopped in the street like on a daily basis. It's actually exhausting. That's why he's always sleeping. He's like exhausted from literally putting society on his back.
He's so incredibly famous. It's unreal.
It's disgusting.
It's disgusting. I want to kill him.
Speaking of something that's... Okay, I don't know how to transition. But yesterday on the podcast, I totally forgot to ask you to do your Mickey Mouse Clubhouse impression, because I told everyone about it on Monday's show, about how we watched so much Mickey Mouse Clubhouse over Christmas break because we spent time with our niece and she fucking loves Mickey Mouse Clubhouse, and we were like running around the house being like, "Miska, Muska," and then we discovered Ben has this incredible talent for Mickey Mouse impersonation. So I want to say just go for it.
Mm-hmm. "Miska, Muska, Mickey Mouse."
That's really good.
It is, right?
It's really good. And you know what? Like, I think you don't do that many good impersonations. Neither do I. Like, it's a really hard skill. I think the only impersonation that I do decently is, like, Shakira.
I think I do two that are good.
What's your other one?
"Euphigenia Doubtfire, dear."
That's very good. The truckers for Euphigenia have arrived. They haven't been here in a while since they were here for Tayshia, but the truckers for Euphigenia have arrived. That's very good. Yeah, I only do Shakira, like, half well.
You do a good Shakira, honestly.
Wherever we're meant to be together, out there and you'll be here. That's like, it's gotten worse over time.
That's good.
But, you know, I wish I could do more impersonations. Mm-hmm. We should start honing that craft.
It's funny. I think that because Mickey just came so naturally, I wonder what others I could do. It's like, I didn't try to learn Mickey. Right. Mickey just came to me.
No, you didn't choose Mickey. Mickey chose you.
He chose me.
Yeah.
"Miska, Muska, Mickey Crunch."
It's the Mickey Mouse Clubhouse. Come inside, it's fun inside. It's the Mickey Mouse Clubhouse. We have a great show for you guys today. Obviously, I know everyone's just tuning in because we got to talk about Kim and Kanye, like the news of the day. Do you know what the news is?
Kimye.
You know, like...
Of course.
Okay. I don't want to insult you.
Of course.
You.
No, look. The big D.
The big D. So we have a great show for you guys today. Fast Five Stories. Of course, we'll be recapping Kim and Kanye. I know Jackie is devastado that she's not here. But it's Wednesday, so we're also going to do a little TV recap. I want to talk about Bridgerton and Real Housewives of Dallas very quickly. Ben didn't watch. I just want to give a couple thoughts. And then, obviously, Dear Toasters, which is our advice segment. And hopefully you guys wrote in some good stuff for me and Ben. I haven't seen them yet. They've been pre-screened. And hopefully we'll be able to deliver some life-changing advice.
I've been told that I deliver life-changing advice.
By who?
That's something that people say about me.
Who?
It's like, Ben,
who?
He does a great Mickey Mouse impression. He does an unbelievable euphogenia. And he gives life-changing advice.
I'm not saying I don't believe you. I would just love to know who these people are.
You'll know them when you see them.
When will I see them?
You'll see them.
Okay. So I think we should just dive in because we just got to get to talking about Kim and Kanye and the unbelievable news that I literally reject from the universe. So let's just dive right into the fast five stories that you need to know before you wake up and take a bite out of your morning toast. Very good, Ben.
Mm-hmm.
You have so much experience clearing your throat. You're probably very good at that. Does it feel good in the back of your throat?
No, it clears a different portion. Like, if those throat clearers that are listening, they know that you can clear the beginning of your throat or really more towards the esophagus.
You were on such a kick last night with your throat clearing. Like, it was the fact that I didn't stab you in your sleep, I should win an award.
Yeah, so that was deeper throat clearing.
Yeah.
I was trying to cleanse my esophagus versus the more... upfront throat clearing that more focuses on the roof of your mouth. That's where you get the...
Okay, I think that's enough. Oh, I have to sneeze. Oh, I wish we were on video.
Bless you.
Sneezing on the toast is one of my favorite pastimes, but I do a little dance with it, but we're not recording video today. Sorry, guys, you missed it. As I was saying, I think that sneeze is a mere symptom of my RDH, so it's best to let everyone know that today's episode is brought to you by Bruch, our favorite electric toothbrush here at the Morning Toast. The most sleek, the most beautiful, and the best. I went to the dentist like a month ago for the first time in 6 years, and she was like, oh my God, you're such a great brusher. Do you use an electric toothbrush? And I said, Doc, I'm using a Bruch. The Bruch comes with 6 unique modes to customize your brushing experience. It has a 4-week battery life, so you can charge it, take it with you on a trip, and not have to bring the charger. It comes with a magnetic charging stand and a compact travel case. They also have a subscription program, so you can never forget to change your brush head again. Bruch ships you new replacement heads every 6 months, so you never get stuck using a worn-out brush head. Their sleek design is modern, aesthetically pleasing, and comes in trend-driven seasonal colors and looks great on your bathroom. It's true. It's very modern, very Elon Musk-like Tesla vibes. It's cute. It's affordable. It's the best, honestly, the best electric toothbrush that I've experienced and the most reasonably priced. And it's cute. I have one in pink. It's just fabulous. All the toasters have Bruches, I feel like, at this point. If you're not Bruching, what are you doing? Get 15% off your Bruch toothbrush kit and refill plan when you use the promo code TOAST at Bruch.com. That's 15% off using promo code TOAST at Bruch.com. The promo code is TOAST for 15% off at Bruch, Bruch.com. Now, leading into our first story, maybe Kim and Kanye landed divorce because they weren't Bruching.
It's possible. What a great name, Bruch.
I know, right? It's just a fabulous brand.
Mm-hmm. Bruch.
Okay, page 6. They were the first to report it, so... According to them, and now it's on the cover of the New York Post, and now it's being reported widely that Kim Kardashian and Kanye West are getting a divorce. Now, here are the facts from page 6, and then let's just go. You know, it's one of those things, like, you know, like historical events where you remember where you were when you found out?
Mm-hmm.
Like, I literally remember where I was when I found out that Kim and Chris Humphries were getting a divorce. I was in history class in the 11th grade, and it was really traumatizing. So... Now I'll remember. I was sitting in my bed doing a Q&A when I found out Kim and Kanye.
Mm-hmm.
And see, do you remember where you were when you found out that Kobe passed away?
Of course.
Me too. I was in my bed again because I'm always in my bed. But there are certain things that like triggered, like that you remember where you were. And this is going to be one of them.
Yep. I was walking around Bloomingdale's aimlessly looking at my phone saying, what the fuck?
Yeah. Kim Kardashian and Kanye West are over. Multiple sources tell Page 6 that divorce is imminent for the Hollywood couple, with Kardashian hiring divorce attorney to the stars, Laura Wasser. They are keeping it low-key, but they are done, says a source. Kim has hired Laura Wasser, and they are in settlement talks. Kim, 40, hasn't been seen wearing her wedding ring, and Kanye, 43, remained at his $14 million Wyoming ranch over the holidays instead of spending it with the Kardashian family, who drew criticism for their extravagant celebrations. Kim got Kanye to go up to Wyoming so they could live separate lives and quietly get things sorted out to separate and divorce. She's done, the source said. So let me just explain that, like, when I saw this story, at first I just completely rejected it. I have seen in the past year, people have always said stuff about Kim and Kanye, but definitely in the last year, like when he's kind of been going through some mental health issues and he's been on Twitter, like saying stuff about her family there. And Kim actually has spoken out about the whole situation. People have said this before. And so I didn't really pay it any mind. And then they announced they were going to put it on the cover of the New York Post, which I thought was a really big deal. And then it started to be reported more widely from like E and TMZ. And I was forced to like look in the mirror. I couldn't ignore this story anymore. And as much as it pains me to say this, it appears as though it may be true.
Mm-hmm.
And I just don't know what to do with this information. Like, I'm honestly thinking of all my Kimye stans. I'm thinking of Jackie O. Like, this is really sad. Because I feel like people have talked about them forever, but there was always proof in the success of their marriage. Like, they weren't getting divorced. They've been together for 8 years. They have 4 kids. Like, say what you want, but this is what a happy marriage looks like. And mm-hmm. I just feel like I can't say that anymore, and that's really sad.
Yeah, it is sad, especially because I just don't feel like this is what, like, Kim had wanted. Like, people can always say, like, oh, they'll just, like, find another husband. Like, right. That's what they always do. Like, it's pretty clear that, like, she definitely loved him. Like, she stayed with him, besides the 4 kids.
Times.
Like, 4 kids, that's a big deal. But, like, there are plenty of people that get divorced with children that, yeah. like, were in loveless marriages. Like, I think that she, like, stayed with him through some really tough times in his life.
I totally agree.
I think that it only became something that, again, I don't know them. I know nothing. So this right. is just, like,
conjecture.
Yeah, but it seems like it affected her and her family too much publicly that's when she sort of needed to step away.
You think?
Away. Yeah.
I feel like she's not that shallow.
I think that there's a lot. I think between him running for president and then dropping out and then all of those videos. And it's just like, it's not about being shallow. It's like there's just so much.
There's so much.
There's so much publicity that you can just like sort of push away
withstand.
To a point where it's going to start to affect your own mental health and your family.
No, that's interesting. I mean, whenever, I think it was maybe like Kim's Eat Your Hollywood story, or just like whenever she refers to like her meeting Kanye, you know, she really wasn't taken seriously by a lot of people before Kanye. I think like her and her family were just regarded as like reality stars, and like Kim was constantly trying to break into the fashion world, and like Kanye brought her as his plus one to the Met Gala. She was like so nervous, and she was really trying to break into fashion. Like nobody gave her the time of day until Kanye was like, yeah, I like this girl, like she's my wife, and brought her everywhere, and like really gave Kim and the whole family like a true sense of legitimacy. So I don't know if Kim would be so quick to like be so shallow, being like, oh, you're giving me bad press. Like, at some point, I think Kim is, like, too famous to care.
It's not.
I just think that it's, like, nobody knows what goes on in a marriage. And I think the small bit that we do know, which is Kanye's very public struggle with mental health issues, I think that can take a toll on a marriage. I do.
Yeah. Agreed.
I'm just really sad. Like, and I don't, like, I know it's going to be exciting because I'm, like, a pop culture podcast host. And, like, now we get to see who Kim is dating. I heard a rumor that she's dating Van Jones, who is do you know who that is?
I know the name.
Yeah, he's a host on CNN, and he worked with Kim.
Oh, I do know who Van Jones
is. He worked with Kim on a lot of her prison reform and, like, a lot of the TV spots she did for Alice Marie Johnson. So people say that she's dating him. I don't believe that. There's also, like, an insane rumor on TikTok that Kanye West is dating Jeffree Star, which is, like, so far-fetched. But I just, like, I hate that we're here. Like, I don't want to know who Kim's dating because I know she's home with Kanye, you know?
Yeah, I mean, if she's dating somebody right now, then I take back everything that I said. And if he's dating somebody, like, not dating, like, sure, like, if you hear that, like, if the rumors about him and Jeffree Star are true, that
no,
would be,
it's
like,
not
a whole
true. I don't
crazy
even want,
thing.
I'm sorry I even put that out there. Like, that's just not true.
But, like, I don't know. I don't think that you, like, get out of a loveless marriage. I mean, you don't get out of a loving marriage and just jump into dating someone when you're so busy. Like, that's, like, her thing. It's like, I'm so busy, I can't, like, breathe. Like, I remember I watched, like, a couple episodes of The Kardashians.
You don't have to be embarrassed. You could say you watch it.
No. I wish that I watched more of it. I've only watched, like, a couple episodes of this season. Mm-hmm. And I specifically remember an episode where it's, like, Kim talking about how she hasn't been alone. And, like, she has her family, she has her business, like 4 kids is a ton. And it's like,
well,
okay,
yes.
So now you'd assume that if she's like going through a separation with her husband, that she wouldn't try and make her life busier.
So the thing is that when you were watching that episode, we were watching when they were in quarantine, Kanye offered to take the kids. Kanye has been in Wyoming for most of quarantine. So I think that they have decided to not be married well over a year ago. That's my opinion. Mm-hmm. And they are now only deciding to be public and actually file the divorce papers. So I think if either one of them is dating someone, they are well within their right. I think that they haven't been like emotionally married for a year.
Fair.
And I think that if it weren't for coronavirus and like all the shit going on in the world, they might have even announced this way sooner, because we know that Kanye, and on the show they tried to make it seem like, Kim, like Kanye's giving me my space, like he's gonna go to Wyoming with the kids. Like, we know that they've been living separate lives, and By the way, there are plenty of people who live separate lives from their husbands and live in perfectly happy marriages. So I didn't think anything of it. I didn't. But I'm also just like a blindly loyal stan, but I'm being confronted with the truth now. And it's just, it's really tough to swallow.
Mm-hmm. Tough.
Anything you want to say? Last words on the Kimye marriage before I wrap this up?
No, it's a tough pill to swallow.
Speaking of another tough pill to swallow, this is kind of like a sad day here at the Morning Toast. This is a Page Six article. According to them, Alex Trebek was in, quote, enormous pain during final Jeopardy tapings. So I don't know if you know, but this week is the last bit of episodes. He had pre-recorded a ton of Jeopardy episodes. So when he died, he still had like 2 more months of Jeopardy already recorded. But ahead of Alex Trebek's final Jeopardy episodes airing this week, executive producer Mike Richards is opening up about what it was like for the late host to film the show just 10 days before his death. Richard said on the Today Show, it was Herculean. He was in enormous pain. But despite Trebek's struggles, Richard said viewers will not sense that in any of the episode. He is strong, he sounds great, he is funny, and he is amazing, the EP added, calling the beloved host an absolute warrior. Trebek's final 5 episodes will begin airing Monday on ABC, and Richard teased a special monologue during one of the episodes. He said, in this very special, unbelievable final week, he comes out and gives a talk about the importance of togetherness and sticking together and what the world is struggling. But we have to get through it together. And we had chills. Okay, so final 5 episodes this week. And apparently we get a special message from Alex Trebek. And according to the executive producer, he was in a lot of pain. That's, I mean, I can't even talk about my feelings for Alex Trebek like without crying.
It's amazing that he truly was, like, married to the show.
Mm-hmm.
Like, I don't know anybody in the world that films literally up until they die.
No, it's insane.
Like, you leave, you, like, spend your next years...
with your family.
Yeah, or, like, in Florida. It's always Florida.
Yeah. No, I know what you mean.
And it's just, like, you come to terms with things, and I guess the only thing... I wonder if this is going to be very profound.
Hmm.
Perhaps the show was literally keeping him alive.
Perhaps.
Seriously.
No, I feel that.
Because he's been sick for a very long time.
Yeah, and, like and it did...
How old is he?
I think somewhere in his 80s. Or like late 70s. No, definitely not 80s.
No,
sorry.
70s.
Late 70s. I think that for a while, he was doing really well in his treatment. And people thought that he might beat it. But stage 4 pancreatic cancer is like... nobody gets to beat that. It's just awful. So I just love him so much. And I can't believe, like, I actually haven't watched any of the episodes this week. Like, I honestly find it too triggering. Like, I love him so much.
Yeah, he's a great guy.
I will watch them at some point. But just to know that, like, they're still out there means, like, I have something to look forward to in terms of Alex Trebek. Yep. But if I just watch them, I don't think I'm ready. All right, next up, I'm going to change the...
The vibe.
It's a very somber vibe. This is a weird-ass story that I actually followed on TikTok, and now it's being written up. E! News. JoJo Siwa is responding to controversial JoJo's Juice board game featuring inappropriate content. JoJo took to social media to address the inappropriate questions on the children's game, JoJo's Juice. JoJo Siwa is addressing the criticism over controversial Nickelodeon board game, JoJo's Juice. The 17-year-old YouTube star, who has a young fan base, took to Instagram and TikTok on Monday to shed some light on how the children's game ended up with the inappropriate content for the targeted 6 and up audience. She said, over the weekend, it has been brought to my attention by my fans and followers on TikTok that my name and image have been used to promote this board game that has some really inappropriate content. Now, when companies make these games, they don't run every aspect by me, so I had no idea the types of games that were on these playing cards. Now, when I first saw this, I was really, really, really upset about how gross these questions were. And so I brought it to Nickelodeon's attention immediately. And since they have been working to get this game... And since then, they've been working to stop getting this game made and also being pulled from all shelves wherever it's sold. So this kind of happened in such a weird way. Some TikToker, I think maybe it was like a mom who bought the game for her kid, made a video that went viral being like, why is JoJo Siwa selling this game? Where it's like, it was just like inappropriate.
What are the questions? Do you know, like, any of them?
It wasn't like, where'd you give your first blowjob? But it was like inappropriate for 6 and up.
What is that?
Okay, let me find. I need to find that.
It's important.
No, I know.
It's important to know what some of them are.
Oh, here. Other questions from the multiplayer game were, who in this room would you most like to date? Have you ever stolen from a store? Those were two of the questions. And JoJo said she never, ever, ever would have approved or agreed to a game that reportedly included questions about being arrested and nudity. No, the thing is that, of course, the questions to us don't seem like such a big deal. But and JoJo Siwa is 17, but her core audience is like hardcore four-year-olds.
First of all, I don't know who JoJo Siwa is.
What?
Yeah, I don't know who she is.
Wait.
But she's on Nickelodeon.
No.
Oh.
Wait, what?
I don't know who that is.
Do you know what she looks like?
No.
Okay.
Show me a picture. Maybe I'll know who she is.
You know this girl.
Maybe.
Oh, my God. Are you serious?
Swear.
Wait, how do you live in my house and not know who JoJo Siwa was?
I don't know.
Oh, no, I have to give you background now.
Okay, fine. Give me some background.
Okay.
Because then I have a...
Yeah. So JoJo, remember the show Dance Moms?
Yes. Oh, yes.
So she was like on the show, but like not...
I remember.
Not popular by any means necessary. And you know the girls from that show, like a lot of them became like big Instagrammers, some dancers. Yep. JoJo was like irrelevant on the show, honestly. And she took like the modicum of fame that she had and she started like a YouTube channel. And she like became this kid sensation, like the Wiggles. Like she, everything she does is kid.
Got it.
She's like a singer and she makes like these songs that kids love and she goes on tours. She does arenas and a lot of the tour is sponsored by Nickelodeon. I know she partners with Nickelodeon a lot. I don't think she has her own TV show on Nickelodeon. But she's like literally like the Hannah Montana, but she skews much, much younger. And what's so impressive about her and why everyone's obsessed with her is that she has a billion-dollar licensing company. Because her name and image are worth so much, she has these lines of lunchboxes, hair ties, like anything you can imagine, merch, backpacks, like kids' comforters, like everything at Walmart. And it's not her company. It's a licensing thing. So they use her name and image. So her products globally have generated over $1 billion. She's not herself a billionaire because it's a licensing thing, but that's how a game like this gets made. Like they license her name and then put like something inappropriate in the box.
I understand.
So I just thought you should need some background.
Okay. That is good background. So she is an icon to the young child.
To very young. Like, you know who did a YouTube video with her? Who's obsessed with her?
Who?
Northwest.
Ah, very
Kim
young.
Kim went over to her house.
Very young. I understand.
Very young.
Okay. So when you enter into a relationship with a network, a Nickelodeon, let's say, you have to assume that the way that Nickelodeon speaks to kids is going to be the way that Nickelodeon speaks to the kids in your board game.
Yeah.
If she's ever watched one episode of anything on Nickelodeon, she knows that so many of the jokes are made for the parents watching with their kids.
They're inappropriate. You're right.
But it's the same thing on Disney Channel. It's just because the kids are not watching by themselves and the parents slowly get hooked. There's a reason why into the ages of my dad would like watch Hannah Montana with me and occasionally laugh. We'd watch it back now.
Well, Bruce is a man of taste, and Hannah Montana is an amazing show.
You get what I'm saying?
I agree.
She didn't partner with Mattel, not Mattel. Like, what's a really young kids brand? Something with a
Barbie.
P? No, or not even Barbie. Like Play-Doh.
By the way, I totally disagree with you. I think her partnering with Nickelodeon, she can assume that what's going out with her name on it is going to be kid friendly. Kid tested, mother approved.
Great. So 99% of the questions are kid tested, mother approved, and one of them is talking about arrests. That's like, oh no, that's like a shock factor question.
This is definitely like an overreaction.
Whatever.
But I think JoJo Siwa was a queen for like getting out in front of it and just like taking responsibility. Like, she's a fucking queen.
Yeah, sure.
Getting her product off the shelves.
Yeah, it sucks for Nickelodeon. They probably lost a lot of money.
Yeah, and this is, like, embarrassing for them. They have an image issue, and don't make me say why, because everyone knows why.
Schneider.
Ben, what did I just say? I said don't say.
By the way.
I'm not trying to get a lawsuit.
Have you ever spoken about him?
Shh. Seriously. Shh. 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 Silence, okay? I'm not... Shut up! I know... Don't say anything. Seriously.
You sure?
Yeah. Next up, it has been a very, very good, sorry, no good, very bad week for Dr. Dre. He says he's doing great after being hospitalized and will be back home soon. So he shared on Instagram after the news was reported that he was suffering from a brain aneurysm, which is like a crazy thing.
Terrible.
And then to make matters worse, Page Six is now reporting his home was the target of a burglary while he was hospitalized for the aneurysm.
Yeah, probably by his fucking wife.
Why his wife?
Oh, you don't know the drama?
No, what?
He's in the middle of a horrific divorce.
Okay.
And if you follow the Shade Room, you'd know that she's, like, trying to take him for everything that he has.
I mean, if I was married to Dr. Dre, I would literally be doing the same thing. And, you know, I actually did see something yesterday because his wife was, like, spilling his... airing his dirty laundry, saying he has over $260 million in cash.
Yeah, so...
That's crazy.
So, well, he's the richest man ever because of Beats and because of his music.
Mm-hmm.
But apparently his wife...
His music, Beats by Dre.
No, his music is separate from
His music is Beats by Dre.
Totally.
Well, let me just tell you the details of the robbery, and then we could see if maybe it was the wife. Dr. Dre's L.A. home was the target of a burglary ring while the music mogul was hospitalized after suffering a brain aneurysm. Police said nothing was taken when the suspects tried and failed to break into Dre's Brentwood pad around 10 p.m. Tuesday. During a surveillance operation in the swanky neighborhood, police spotted an SUV thought to be involved in the ring and apprehended four suspects. Police didn't immediately return Page Six's request for comment, though 55-year-old Dre hasn't commented on the attempted burglary. He did speak out on his health. Thanks to my family, friends, and fans for their interest and well wishes. I will be out of the hospital and back home soon. Shout out to all the great medical professionals at Cedars. One love. Dre's hospitalization comes amid his bitter divorce battle with estranged wife, Nicole Young. Oh my God, who is seeking $2 million per month in spousal support.
She's, from what I'm reading, again, I don't know them, I don't know anything, but from what I'm reading, she's caused a lot of stress in this divorce. He's been incredibly stressed. And a cause of the brain aneurysm is...
Oh, you are not blaming the wife for his brain aneurysm and the robbery.
I'm not blaming her for the robbery. I wasn't saying that. But I am blaming her for the aneurysm. Leave him alone.
Dr. Dre is a pijam. But, like, I guess if you do have $260 million a month, like... No, you could spare two. I'm sorry. If you have $260 million, period, like you could spare two a month.
Two a month? He's broke in 10 years.
But he's still making money. That's the thing. He's not living off of a sum of wealth.
I don't think that he's making for the rest of his life $50 million a year.
I think he's making a lot of money off of his music and his Apple stock.
Okay. $2 million a month is just...
It's a lot. It's insane. We were saying Kelly Clarkson's husband was requesting spousal support. I think it was $1 million a month. And, like, that was insane because Kelly Clarkson is, like, not nearly as rich as Dre.
No, Dr. Dre is legend.
No, and, like, to be honest, like, I admire his wife's tenacity. Like, if I was getting divorced from one of the richest men alive, like, I would do everything that I could to, like, get the most. I don't know. I kind of feel her.
Interesting.
It's a good thing we're still married.
This is true.
All right. Finally, I wanted to give a little business news, something I think you might be interested in because it's a fast food piece of information from CNN Business.
What are you implying?
That you love fast food?
Do I? You love fast food more than me.
Okay. Did I say that I didn't love fast food?
The Mickey D queen.
KFC is going to start selling...
Ooh. Good brand.
They're going to start selling plant-based fried chicken.
Oh, that's interesting.
See, I knew you would like this story.
I do.
Only in a few cities, though. They're launching a plant-based version of their fried chicken in about 50 locations, L.A., Orange County, and San Diego next week. The chain has already served the fake chicken version of its products, which is made by Beyond Meat. KFC's first tested Beyond Fried Chicken in Atlanta for one day last summer, and then it served the product for a limited time in Nashville and Charlotte this past winter. The current version will be available in California while supplies last. KFC plans to monitor the results of this test to determine whether to make Beyond Fried Chicken available nationally. I'm not going to lie. We talk about here on the toast, like, plant-based options being put in McDonald's and Burger King, and we're always for it. But, like, this seems kind of nasty.
I have a couple of questions.
Because I love KFC. Like, love, love, love. But honestly, I don't fuck with their chicken. Like, I fuck with their sides. Their chicken is, like, kind of not good. Sorry, I said it. But their mac and cheese, on the other hand, is, like, literally... I imagine heaven is, like, seriously just, like, a big lake filled with KFC mac and cheese and Boston Market mac and cheese, which is very similar.
I have a couple of questions here.
Go.
Question number one. I love Beyond Meats in general. I think that they taste really good.
I think so too.
And for somebody that tries to limit their red meat consumption, I think it's a really good replacement. When are we going to find out that it, like, leads to you growing, like, a third arm?
Oh, 100%.
Like, nothing can taste that much like meat, not be meat, and not be horrific for you.
Yeah.
And especially because this is, like, the trial run. It's like, oh, before Splenda came out and, like, we realized that it was fine, like, Sweet and Low, and, like, there was something with Sweet and Low.
Well,
and, like,
people say about all those different sugars that they, like, give you cancer.
No, but...
But the only thing is
the
that...
The OG ones apparently were much worse. Like, there's course, some trial equal, and error is what I'm saying.
Equal is the worst.
You know what I'm saying? There's some trial and error.
Yes, but if Impossible and Beyond Meat claim to be plant-based, then, like, how bad could they be?
Bad. I don't know what else. I don't know.
Yeah, I don't know what chemicals
just
are in
it's
there.
Because it's plant-based, okay, at the bottom you put... A fucking plant. Like a, I don't know.
A leaf.
Yeah, a leaf, exactly. And then you, like, throw a clump of duty on the leaf. Is it still plant-based?
That's a great question. To be honest, though, like, I do agree with you. Like, there's something too good about the, like, when we were just away, Jackie made, like, a home chef, and she gets Impossible Meat Home Chef. She made these quesadillas that were, like, fake beef, and oh my god, it was so fucking good. And yeah, like, that's not the shit I eat. Like, I don't like that shit. But you're right, it tastes too good to be like not giving you, you know,
a third arm,
a third limb or something.
Yeah,
100%
tastes too good. And then my second thing, we're animal lovers. We are like, I don't know if like, do the toasters know quite how much you love animals?
Well, have you ever told them?
I haven't told them. Tell them. Are like beyond animal lovers. Wow, beyond. Weird. Like, care so much for the environment and, like, always, we're just always thinking about stuff like this. And, of course, like, beyond meats and, like, all of that, it's to eventually eliminate us eating cows,
yes,
you'd think would be the goal.
I think.
Then what the fuck happens to the cows? There's just an overpopulation of cows. I'm just curious how the
I don't know how the ecosystem eventually works, but we'll figure it out.
It's interesting, right?
Yeah, we'll figure it out.
Do you think we need to adopt a cow? Like, do you think everybody, all of a sudden, you just need to, like, have cows as domestic animals?
I don't think so.
Because there are just too many?
I don't think so.
Interesting.
Those were the Fast Five stories, and I feel as though you needed to know them. Thank you for your analysis on the Beyond Meat third arm cow saga. I really appreciate it. And I think that's what we love here at the Morning Toast, especially when you come. It's the tangents know no bounds.
Yeah, real tangent. We're all going to have cows as pets.
You should start a podcast called Tangents with Ben. Like, honestly, that's dead ass such a good name. Like, because that's what you do. Like, you just go on crazy tangents.
Right. Let's do it. TNN.
Tangent News Network.
Ooh, that's good.
Okay, so we are going to dive into it. I want to do a little TV recap, just quickly talk about some shows that I watched yesterday. But before I do, the TV recap segment is brought to you by the one and only Liquid IV. You probably know Liquid IV for their popular hydration drink mix. Their energy multiplier is an absolute game changer and gives you that little extra boost that we all need. If you have trouble drinking water but like absolutely need to stay hydrated because you get like headaches throughout the day because you're never drinking water, Liquid IV takes your water and it multiplies it for you. Way more hydration, vitamins, nutrients, and it's just a great way to manage your time and your water consumption. One stick of their energy multiplier is like drinking 2 cups of coffee, and it's an all-natural alternative to processed energy drinks for a sustained energy boost throughout the day. I don't drink coffee, and not usually do I have problems with energy, but sometimes I do, and the energy multiplier is fabulous because it tastes really good, and I really don't like the taste of coffee. Their premium matcha and green energy blend tastes delicious and provides a lasting energy boost throughout the day. The boost you'd get from 1 to 2 cups of coffee, but without the crash. They contain a mixture of matcha, guayusa, and ginger that is high in antioxidants that helps improve mood and focus. They're on a mission to positively change the world, which is the best part. So anytime you purchase from Liquid IV, their company has donated over 6.7 million servings globally. In response to COVID-19, over 3 million products are being donated to hospitals, first responders, food banks, veterans, and active U.S. military. So you can know that your purchase is going into the right hands because you're helping a great cause. Liquid IV is available nationwide at Costco, or you can get 25% off when you go to liquidiv.com, but you have to use the promo code TOAST at checkout. That's 25% off anything you order when you use the promo code TOAST at liquidiv.com. Start fueling your adventures today at liquidiv.com. Promo code TOAST. Okay, TV recap. I'm not going to spoil Bridgerton for you because I know you're like claiming that you're going to watch it, even though I know you're not. But it was just so good. First of all, so aesthetically stunning. It was 1800s London. I know that's not what it looked like, but the colors and the homes and the dresses, it was just stunning. Like an absolutely gorgeous show. That tree that they show at the beginning of every episode is just sickening. I want to live in that fucking tree. The cast was amazing. I love that I didn't really know anyone. The woman who played the queen was just everything of the sort. And the woman who played Daphne Bridgerton is Feira Fightley. And I need to know like how she's related to Keira Knightley because it was so crazy. The show had a little bit of everything, like a little bit of softcore porn, a little bit of drama, a little bit of Gossip Girl, a little bit of Game of Thrones. Like, it was really a melting pot of interesting things, and I just thought it was very different from anything I've watched this year. And I do feel like it lagged in the middle, and I was almost like, this is the show that's so hyped up, but oh my god, the last two episodes were everything of the sort. When Lady Whistledown was revealed, I was shook to the motherfucking core. Close your ears, Ben. When Daphne and Simon finally worked it out, I was like, fuck yes, you go, you get that dick, you make that baby, I'm happy for you. Because honestly, like, she almost had this miserable life with Nigel, and then she finally ends up coincidentally married to a man that she fucking loves, which in that time period was be rare, and I was so happy for her. Also, I loved the Bridgerton family. Like, they honestly reminded me of the Steens. Like, they were very Steeny. Like, I loved their mom. She was like a good, smart woman who just like was trying her best without her husband. And I just love that there were so many of them and they were just like so connected. And everyone in town was like, yes, the Bridgertons, like best family. Like I loved the Bridgertons. I wanted to be one of them. Now I did feel really bad for the Finkelsteins. No, what was their, that's Jewish. Finchelberg?
Wait. My ears hurt.
All right, you can take your fingers out of your ears. I just have to find Bridgerton.
Oh,
what was the name of that family? The Fincherton. Fincherton? Was that what their name?
That doesn't sound like a name.
No, Bridgerton family with an F. Like, it's annoying. Oh, my God. Penelope was the queen. Hold on. Rolls. Featherington. Thank you. Wait, okay. So Featherington's like, honestly, I know they were supposed to be annoying and like they were giving me like Cinderella vibes, like with Jennifer Coolidge and like all the stepsisters, but I actually like fell for them. And the mom, like what they did to Miss Thompson wasn't right, but I don't know. I'd like felt bad for them when they were like banished from society. Like they got canceled in the 1800s. And like, I can relate to that. It's just an amazing show. And if you haven't watched it, I really recommend it. And it's just great. Then the other thing, you don't have to plug your ears for this, was The Real Housewives of Dallas premiered like last night, but it also premiered on New Year's Eve, which I thought was so weird because I saw people tweeting about it on New Year's Eve at like 11 o'clock. And I'm like, why are people tweeting about Real Housewives of Dallas? Why would they put the premiere on New Year's Eve? But then they premiered it again this week, so I didn't have to watch, but I thought it was excellent. Like, first of all, I think the show without Leanne has such a fresh and light attitude, and I just think it's so great. And the new housewife is everything of the sort. She's so rich, and now I feel like maybe, just maybe, Dallas might be the wealthiest, not to be mean, but ever since they dropped Leanne, I think they might be in tied with like Beverly Hills for the wealthiest franchise. Like everyone's houses, first of all, Tiffany's house is so fucking sickening. Cameron's new house is so sickening. Stephanie's house is so sickening. It's just a great show. I think it's going to be a great season. Carrie Brittingham was like kind of MIA from this episode. But I'm just very much looking forward to it all. It's a fabulous show. Sorry, Ben. I know you're getting bored. Let's dive into Dear Toasters.
No, I'm not getting bored. That was fun. What was it? Leanne is the one who left?
Yeah.
That's like the crazy motherfucker.
Yeah, she was nuts.
Holy shit. Holy shit. She was just so nuts. I remember watching a bunch of episodes.
She was really...
What is the diarrhea coming out of this woman's mouth?
But in her defense, like, she really put the show on her back for a while. I'm like, I don't know if there would have been any or as much drama if she wasn't there. So now it's our first season without her. And I think it'll just be, like, a real testament to whether or not, like, she was as important to the storyline as I think she might have been.
No, they'll find something else. Like, these producers,
yeah, they always do.
They, you know what I mean? They find
stuff. All right, next up. This is Dear Toasters, our advice segment. If you ever want to write in, deartoasters@gmail.com. We would really appreciate the support. Hello, my Queensteens. Well, she was talking to me and Jackie, but I'm ready to murder my boyfriend. We've been together for 3 years. We live in a tiny apartment. We both work from home and both have anxiety during COVID. Due to this time, we've spent a lot of time apart in the last 9 months. The long time apart when he goes to golf or every few weeks. Wait, sorry. The long time apart being when he goes to golf or every few weeks when I go to my office. My office is closed. I'm only allowed in to mail things because I'm born. Oh my God, this is like the most poorly written thing. Okay. The long time apart being when he goes to golf or every few weeks when I go into my office. My office is closed. I'm only allowed in to mail things because I work in boring HR. Golf season has ended and we are just home constantly. I try to go out and do things, but it's annoying being the one that's constantly leaving. He'll go for a 30-minute walk some days, but others ask me to go with him. Our apartment is small and we only have one TV. As I'm typing this, I can hear him washing his hands in the bathroom. How do I not kill him? How do I make it fun to be home? Please help me. I'm about to go to jail. I think Jackie or maybe Dana said this once before, but it's either you get engaged or you break up at one point in a relationship. And we're at that mile marker. So please help us survive COVID. I really do love him and I want to get engaged. Love a Steen that needs alone time and can't wait for January 26th to read Girl With No Job, The Life of an Instagram Thirst Monster. This is tough. Honestly, like not to be a bitch, but like we can't relate because we've been having so much fun in quarantine, like so in love.
Yeah, I do have my opinions there. Do we know where she is from, where she is living?
So, like, not to be a bitch, but you read the exact same submission that I did. So, like, how would I know that?
Oh, it doesn't say, like, friend from New York?
No.
Okay. My first thought would be you're working from home. It's, again, I'm not going to assume where you live, but if possible, if at all, maybe right now you're in like a slightly nicer building, you need a little more space clearly. So if at all possible, I would move.
Yeah.
Whether that is to a slightly worse area. Again, it's tough not knowing where you live. If you live in New York City, though, you should probably just move to Long Island City.
Or like Murray Hill.
Or move somewhere else.
An area that has like tons of new apartments that are much bigger for cheaper because it's like a lesser area.
You need more space. The second is, if you can't get more space, you need a second TV. Having one TV is not realistic. The reason why me and you have had such a lovely quarantine is because for a couple hours a day, the reason why you were able to watch Bridgerton and never watched it is because you watched in the bedroom.
Yeah.
And I watched the NBA last night.
In the living room.
In the living room.
100%.
And I think that, like, even those bits of separation within your own home are incredibly important.
And I think cultivating a vibe and an experience in your own home is so important. Me and Jackie talk about this all the time. In lockdown, in quarantine, like, your home can become a prison, 100%. And unless you're, like, refreshing your space, like, every time you get out of bed, like, making the bed, lighting candles, mood lighting, if you're putting no effort into your space, like, it can really become a toxic place very, very quickly. So I suggest, like, whenever I lay on the couch, like, after I get up, I always fold a blanket, refresh the pillows, put the remotes, like, clean and orderly, like, blow out my candles, and then I cultivate a new vibe when I start fresh in a few hours. You know what I mean? I think refreshing your space is really important.
Yep.
Opening a window.
Also, have you tried getting violently drunk?
Yeah, that's good.
Because,
or you could say something you don't mean.
Because the, no, but it's not that. It's the one time that, so like when we were in like real hardcore quarantine, like no stores were open, like the city was a fucking ghost town.
Yeah.
And we got really, really, really drunk on my birthday Zoom.
Oh,
and
yeah.
And I woke up. There's a feeling that you forget of waking up so disgustingly hungover that you don't want to leave your bed. You just want to order a nice bagel with tuna fish and watch TV.
By the way,
that really does reset you.
I said that all the time during like the hardcore lockdown in the city, that being drunk is so, so great, because the morning when you're hungover, you actually don't mind being hungover, because when you're hungover, all you want to do is lay in bed. And, and in quarantine, you have no choice but to lay in bed.
Yep. So not encouraging people to be alcoholics, but I think that would be a nice idea.
Yeah. Dear Claudia and Jackie, this is our next one. Sorry. Dear Ben and Jack, Ben and Claudia. I shall start with the obligatory thank you so much for saving me during quarantine spiel. It has been a true gem to listen to all the episodes, new, old, and on Patreon throughout 2020. Can't wait to read your book soon, too. Pre-order now, girlwithnojob.com/book. Let's get to the point. I'm 30 years old. Got married in October, and my husband and I decided it would be kind of us to host Christmas Eve dinner at our house for the holidays. Whenever my mom hosts, it's always a shit show because she gets so stressed out, so we thought it'd be fun to have our family take the burden off of her. We didn't want to cook, so we spent $600 on getting food catered and buying alcohol for everyone. The evening was lovely, and we had tons of delicious enchiladas and fajitas left over that were uneaten. She's from Texas. Fast forward to the next day when we were all going to make lunch and we realized our aunt had taken all of the food from the house. Oh my God. I shit you not, she packed up the catering containers without us noticing and took off like a bandit in the night. Needless to say, I was pissed. Leftovers are the best part of a big meal like Thanksgiving or Christmas, and she stole our food that we paid for. She's a grown-ass adult, and I thought that behavior was acceptable. I was shook. My sister wanted me to text her and make a snarky comment, but I took the high road because I felt like it would have been so awkward. What would you have done in that situation? Sincerely, hostess with the mostess. This is an abomination.
What a strange story.
Yeah. I mean, honestly, like, you're a queen for taking the burden off your parents, spending $600 on food and alcohol for everyone. And I just honestly, like, I think this is so disrespectful. And honestly, she's giving aunts a bad name.
No, I mean, at this point, you can't say anything.
No, it's too late.
In the moment, you could have made, like a joke. Like, did you really just, like, take the food?
No, like, you know what I would have done?
What?
Group chat everyone being like, did anyone take leftovers? I can't seem to find any of the catering.
Totally. That's a good
group
one.
Group chat is the best way to be passive aggressive.
What a strange story.
Ben, is this something you would do, like, as the aunt?
No. I also hate leftovers.
No. Okay. First of all, I hate leftovers.
Yeah.
And I hate taking when people like shove their leftovers on me in their house. I'm like, I don't even like your food. Get away.
Yeah, sorry. Clarifying. I like leftovers in my own house, especially like fajitas, enchiladas. Those sound like amazing things for the next day. There's some things that like don't really sit well, like a sushi platter. Like
100%.
Throw that in the trash. But I'll never, ever, 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 ever leave your house with food that you cooked or flowers from your party, or
I hate doing that too.
Never leave with anything from your house.
That's such a good
even
call.
If it was delicious, I don't want it.
Yes, that's literally like the like an old Jewish woman thing to do is like to take the flowers from a bar mitzvah and like bring them home for your foyer.
Totally.
I'm so like clutter conscious. Like I don't need more shit in my fridge. I don't need more vases. Like, please don't ever invite me to your house and send me home with work to do.
Yes, and also this is a direct message to Olivia. Your cooking is delicious. I don't want to take anything home.
Olivia's always trying to pawn her leftovers off on us.
Do you not want them?
And you know what it is? It's like all the really good stuff gets eaten in full. So like the stuff that's left over is like the decent stuff. I don't want that.
No, I don't want it.
I'm really excited because our third and final Dear Toasters is an update. From the toaster who found her OnlyFans. The toaster had an account for one day and it was unclear how the boyfriend found out about it. The girl like thought about doing it. She did it for a day, took it down, but then her boyfriend found out. And we like couldn't figure out like how he figured it out. First of all, thanks for the amazing advice. I've been in full spy mode trying to get to the bottom of things. To add some context as to why my friends and I jumped to say spyware on my phone is because my best friend has an ex who was stealing her SIM card out of her phone. He was then putting it in his phone to read her text messages. He also put a recording device in her car to listen to all of her conversations. Holy shit. I did a little digging and found that an additional Face ID has been set up on my phone. Holy shit. It was a brand new iPhone and I had only set up my face, so I was a little confused. I realized that my boyfriend knew my original password on my phone, but I had changed it when I started the OnlyFans account. He must have already added his face to the Face ID on my phone so that he was able to unlock my phone even after the password had been changed. I've been dreading talking to him about it because I know once the conversation about the violation of trust is had, the end will be near. We have a whole life together and I know things will be messy, but I can't continue on setting the precedent that lack of trust in the relationship is okay. Should I just have the conversation and end things, or do I give him a second chance if he tells me the truth?
And what is wrong with it?
This is so crazy.
What do you mean? This is like, I'm sorry. Like,
no, putting a extra Face ID on like that. And by the way, I'm snoopy as fuck. Like I don't even know if you know, like I'm going through your phone all the fucking time and your computer. That's fucking next level shit.
It's interesting that you said that because I was about to say the opposite.
Can you move your microphone in a little bit?
Oh yeah.
We're doing a podcast.
Is that better? I just you have to trust who you're with. It's like, for one reason or another, I noticed the last couple of times you asked me to like grab your phone, your password has changed since it
oh
was
my God.
which is fine, but
yeah,
like
it has.
I'm sure that
when I left my phone in a taxi, I thought my passcode was too easy.
I was gonna say, I'm sure it changed for some reason personal to you.
Yeah, when I left my phone in the Uber.
It's not like, and it was the same thing with me. Like mine got longer one day because I was afraid that somebody was hacking me.
Yeah.
It's like not people are not changing their passwords because they're hiding something from you. That being said, now that I'm thinking about it.
She did change her password because she was hiding
something from him. So actually, you're giving him reasons. I'm sorry. I'm backtracking a fuck ton. If you really like this guy, you need to not have a secret OnlyFans account.
She had it for a day.
It doesn't matter. You need to not have a secret OnlyFans account and change the password on your phone because all that you're doing is feeding his insecurities and making him think that what he's doing is valid. If you want to start an OnlyFans account, I think that's something that you have to like agree
talk
with
about
your significant other. It's a really great way to make money and maybe he won't have a problem with it. You also don't have to get naked on OnlyFans. Like people are using OnlyFans like you use
Patreon. For
Patreon, 100%. It's like the same thing. So maybe she's just trying to like create a side hustle, make some extra money. And
no,
like,
it was
you just
definitely
have to be transparent about stuff like that.
Yeah, no, I think the OnlyFans was created, you know, for sexy pics.
Oh, interesting.
Also, I just want to clarify, like, I just really only snoop through your stuff because, like, I love you so much. I just want to, like, know what you're talking about. Like, I don't think you're, like, doing anything. I just, like, who is Ben talking to, like, when he's not talking to me? I just want to put that out there.
No, it's
literally, like, your mom.
Yeah, no one.
Queen. That's our show, you guys. Dear Toasters, thank you so much for writing in. DearToasters@gmail.com is the email if you ever want to write in. You can write in about anything. You can update us if we've ever read your submission on air. And we'll always keep it anonymous. Ben, it has been an absolute pleasure having you here for the last 2 days. I hope you've enjoyed your time. And now I'm going to give you a few minutes to plug whatever you want to plug. Where should people follow you?
If you're not following me at Boy With No Job at this point, I don't really know what you're doing. but you can follow me at Boy With No Job. There really is nothing else to plug. I mentioned this yesterday. 2021 is going to be a really big year. some really exciting stuff is coming out. I don't want to necessarily talk about it now, but I'll come back on the show and I'll talk about it.
Well, you are always welcome here, within reason.
Thank you, Mifflish.
I love you very much. Thank you for doing this.
I love you more. Thanks for having me.
Thank you guys so much for listening to the Morning Toast, the Millennium Morning Show, where we deliver the fast 5 stories that you need to know every Monday through Friday on YouTube. So if you're watching us on YouTube, please feel free to subscribe and give this video a thumbs up. We're also available as a podcast anywhere podcasts can be found. So Spotify, iTunes, Stitcher, Public Radio, iHeartRadio, Castbox, all the places. So wherever you listen to podcasts, find us on Morning Toast, leave a 5-star review about how beautiful, stunning, and smart we are. We hope you have an amazing day. You guys, we'll see you tomorrow for Thursday's show. Bye.